Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, how's it going? Welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock. Busy show ahead. We have got a lot of quality central midfielders on this evening's show.
Thanks, Nathan.
Richie, for starters. Johnny Ward as well.
How are you, Nathan?
More of a nippy left winger, I'd say.
No, I was never a winger, no.
Oh, where were you?
Used to play right back, which is a position they put peripheral players, really, isn't it?
I didn't want to say.
The captain of the Republic of Ireland is a right back, Johnny.
It's a peripheral
position. Have a bit more faith in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
You could influence the game from there.
If I were actually good enough, I'd like to play as a kind of a break up the play type midfielder. But anyway, I left the West of Ireland so young that I haven't played 11 aside in a long, long time, unfortunately.
What was your chosen position, Nathaniel?
My chosen position. Oh, if I had it, I often ended up in the old full back positions, utility player, I'd say. Often big man up front, lump it up.
Once marked Alan Cawley, I think. Did you?
A man marked him out of the game,
such that he got a move to England shortly afterwards.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, no. Second time, I played. Not a very exciting story, but Ballyhonus Community School, our greatest ever moment. We got to the Connacht Schools Under 15 final, up against Summerhill, the behemoth of Summerhill of Sligo. We beat the Bish, St Joseph's, in the semi final. Huge shock. The star. The actual newspaper had Ballyhonus bashed the Bish.
I like
full
it.
Match report on it. It was the proudest day of our life.
It's quite a brave headline in their path.
So we got to the Connacht final, and Summerhill had this unbelievable team. I would say of the starting 11, maybe 7 or 8 of them played League of Ireland.
Wow.
So Mark Rossiter had scored a hat-trick.
Some striker of the ball.
Semi-final. So we thought, obviously, let's go and man-mark Mark Rossiter. So we did that very well. Made no impact. Alan Cawley scored a hat-trick. And we lost 3-0. But then we played Merville, which was the club equivalent, basically, of Summerhill, in a All-Ireland Club Cup game about a week later. Man Mark Cawley out of the game.
Well done.
Yeah. It was a high point for me and a particular low point for him. Our careers went in pretty much the same
Mark Rossiter will be remembered.
Stop. Please stop.
Wrongly now.
Please stop. No, he's a good...
He was a good player.
Good player.
Did you know that he had... He had a serious injury when he was younger, something like a tumour in his leg or something ridiculous. And he's a massive big scar, but an unbelievable striker of the ball with no backlift at all. And another player like Stephen O'Donnell, who we have on, that talent-wise was there and just didn't have much luck.
But fiercely consistent when he was fit.
Mm.
Really, really was.
Did Mark Rossiter not score an unbelievable goal?
That was, he probably did, but he'd be remembered for Bose playing Red Bull Salzburg. When there was maybe 10 minutes left at Daly Mount, and
I was behind the goal where it went in.
There was a mix-up between himself and, was it Barry Murphy, the keeper? Brian Murphy came out, and it was one of those horrible ones where he was kind of, I don't know if you heard a shout, but he headed us essentially up in the air, and Bowes were very close to, who would they have played after that? It would have been a bit of a scalp to beat Red Bull Salzburg at that time anyway, and unfortunately they went out on either away goals or by a goal. Pat Finnan would have been in charge. Actually, Stephen O'Donnell might have been playing that time.
He was, yeah. He was in that squad, definitely.
Not for the first time, I've been somewhat sidetracked from my introduction of quality midfielders coming up on the show.
Talking about Bowes.
So 7:30, John Giles is going to be here.
Yep.
8:00, Stephen O'Donnell is going to be here. Just retired within the past hour, officially. The Dundalk captain is going to join us in studio. And then on the football show, 2 quality central midfielders, Keith Andrews and Kevin Kilbane will be
with us. None of these people are Kevin Hunt.
That is... factually correct.
I genuinely believe, and I'm not saying this because he's a League of Ireland player of now, but I think in terms of talent, he was very close at least to the 2 more recent lads. Like, Stephen O'Donnell was a very, very talented footballer and probably didn't scale the heights he should have because of various reasons, but mainly injury. But in terms of actual talent, I think he was more than good enough to play for Ireland and good enough to play at a higher level than the League of Ireland, and I think his performances in Europe against very good opposition would prove me somewhat right in that regard.
He's had a brilliant sort of late flourish to his career over the last 5-6 years, winning, 4 of the last 5 league titles?
40 titles with Dundalk, 6 in total, yeah.
So, yeah, he's going to join us in the studio after 8:00. Premier League's back, we're going to talk about that with John Giles. We're going to talk about Seamus Coleman and whether his position is under threat from Matt Doherty or whether there's a spot for the 2 of them. So that's all coming away. We'll chat Gaelic football as well because Cork have released a new 5-year plan for Cork football. So we're going to chat about that with Mick Foley between now and 9:00. I know a story that caught your attention was on the back page of the Irish Independent today. Michael Verney,
a bizarre scenario yesterday when the Tipperary hurling goalkeeper Brian Hogan was up for media interviews but was not permitted to speak about Tipperary by team management. Now, I'm sure Brian Hogan is a very interesting character and has a lot going on outside of Tipperary hurling that maybe you would like to sit down with him for half an hour and find out about that. But well, being the Tipperary goalkeeper under new management, I'd imagine maybe you might want to ask one or two questions.
Son of Ken Hogan, and by all accounts an interesting guy, but savvy enough that he wouldn't be shooting a load of stuff that would be media gold in interviews, by all accounts.
So he's not going to come out and slate Michael Ryan?
No, he's like, but obviously being a Gaelic Games manager, you can't trust your players to do anything in the media. And this stuff really, really annoys me, I have to say, because I've done very little in terms of Gaelic Games journalism, but I've gone to the odd press conference here or there. And for much of the year, being a Gaelic Games journalist is pretty damn demoralising, because you're limited to conversations with players at preordained sponsored events where they will basically utter a very anodyne piece of crap for about an hour. Mm. The papers will then go with that and make a headline of it. And it's kind of like RTE will send somebody along and we're going to cover this in the news. And the paper will make a space for the interview that will come out of that particular function. But 99 times out of 100, there's nothing worthwhile whatsoever said at these events. Yes, that's what Gaelic Games journalists are generally restricted to for much of the season. And when now you go along to a sanitised event such as it is, and it's about the Fitzgibbon Cup, and let's be honest, nobody goes to club games in this country, or college games. It's not like in America where it's massive. Nobody really cares about college sport in general. Nobody goes, there's no, you want to see the good players play, that's fine. He goes along to that event and he's told by the Tipperary management team, under no circumstances, in early January, are you able to talk about Tipperary hurling? And this is from, and obviously an edict from a new manager who would have been paid plenty of money to do media work from RTE last year. I think it's an absolute disgrace that this goes on in Gaelic Games nowadays, where they still seem to have this idea that, oh, you can't say anything because the opposition dressing room will plaster it all over the wall. Galway were very open with the media in 2017. Limerick were pretty open with the media in 2018. Did them no harm. And managers need to cop on this day and age. The games need promotion. They don't need this rubbish.
There is an element of that in the Cork plan, the five-year plan, where they're talking about trying to re-engage the side and sides at all age grades with the Cork public. Mm. And part of that has to be putting your players forward to speak and allowing them to speak about what it is they do. And when you have these, like, I don't want to go down another rabbit hole of journalists complaining about not getting access to X,
well,
Y, Z.
Well, I think that is what people listening will think. Another journalist moaning about somebody not talking to them.
But I just don't see what, I just don't see what they're trying to hide.
Bear in mind, Nathan.
They're not giving away the third secret.
No, but
Tipperary,
right, had a very disappointing season last year.
There was also a shambolic media campaign there as well.
It's one of those counties where there always seems to be a lot of talk and a lot of rumours and a lot of speculation about things going on. So maybe Liam Sheedy's just decided, I want to keep things quiet. I don't want anything said before the league. I just want to keep everything under wraps. Let's not have our name in the paper. Let's not have our picture in the paper. Nobody will know we exist for the next 6 weeks.
All young Hogan had to do was give bland answers to the Tipperary questions, which you'd expect him to do, which Jim Gavin would have done.
Forward to knuckling down.
Blah, 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 right? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm very, very fortunate. This is not a journalistic kind of moan, because I'm very fortunate in that my two main sports are racing, Irish racing, where I can text the top trainers in the world and they will reply to me practically straight away, because they know that it's good for the sport, be that Aidan O'Brien or Willie Mullins. The League of Ireland at a different level in terms of virtuosity. The players are absolutely brilliant to deal with because they want to promote the sport. Gaelic football in particular is in no position whatsoever to be like kind of yes and no with the media. Gaelic football massively needs support, and treating the players like treating them effectively like potential idiots by saying you can't talk about Tipperary. Those journalists are restricted as it is, and they did not go along to talk about the Fitzgibbon Cup today. They want to put something in the paper, and most of the stuff they put in the paper is practically unreadable because they're restricted to the rubbish that they're restricted to in the first place. And this should not be allowed to go on, and the media organisations need to stop sending people to these events, because eventually people will stop sponsoring them. They probably will, because newspapers are struggling as it is, and people are not going to pay €2 to buy the Irish Independent to read some rubbish 800 words from a preordained kind of media event that was organised by Aviva or whoever it was. It cannot go on as it is, and the Gaelic Games management managers in general need to get their head around the idea that their players are not idiots, and what he says about Tipperary hurling in early January has absolutely nothing to do with them winning the All-Ireland in August.
Well, what if all those Mayo players didn't do all those interviews?
maybe they wouldn't hit the post with that final free, Johnny.
It was definitely that. In fact, it wasn't the course. It was actually all those media interviews they did. It was Joe Canning. You know, we were very lucky to win the All-Ireland.
Vincent Hogan.
Yeah, but Joe Canning does an interview while it was like the semi-final against Tip, and obviously in 2017. Stephen Kenny will be, we'll obviously speak about him later when Stephen is on, but he delegates responsibility to his players. He trusts them. The players are very open with the media. It didn't stop them becoming the most successful Irish football team, more or less, of all time. And why would Brian Hogan, talking about Tipperary having a tough year last year but hoping for the best this year and doing it in the blandest way possible, have anything to do? And instead they're on the back page for not talking.
Again, I don't know in general how big an issue people feel this is, but from a GPA point of view, should they not be in there representing their players? And I don't mind any player who doesn't want to do an interview or who doesn't want to talk or, as you say, wants to say absolutely nothing or if he doesn't want to find himself in that position. But surely part of a well-rounded individual, which I think the GPA are very keen to promote that their players should be, should have the freedom as a 20-something-year-old to say what he wants.
I don't know
and
what. I
to
don't
have
know.
The understanding and respect of his manager that he's not going to throw somebody under the bus.
I don't know what Brian does for a living. I know that a lot of Gaelic footballers and hurlers progress in their career probably partly
he's
because.
He's a student.
Yeah, he's probably
in
a student.
Fitzgibbon
right?
Cup.
Yeah, obviously. Sorry, he's 20 years of age, right? But a lot of players probably have progressed career wise because of the ability to put themselves out in the open because they play in front of 80,000 people and an audience of the guts of a million. And for these players to be stymied in terms of told to basically shut up, and you know that if you break the rules, you're dealing with the autocratic situations around the country. We saw that up in Donegal under Jim McGuinness. You can't break the rule, obviously, because and you also do want what's better for the team. But managers, and many of whom, and I'm not saying anyone in particular, but managers are getting paid, clearly we know that, yet they're telling their players who are not getting paid, you can't say anything in front of the media, and obviously if you do, you're off the panel. Like, it's scandalous. It's like it's like treating players like they're 8 years of age.
But players obviously agree to this.
They've no other option. If you're in a dictatorship and you're the soldiers, you can't just have a revolt when there's only two people who might agree with you.
It's not a hill they're going to die on.
It's exactly. It's not. They can't do anything else. And I'm not singling out Liam Sheedy in particular. But Liam Sheedy was on RTE last year. He did very well out of the media, I would speculate. And now he's shutting the media off from talking to his goalkeeper.
Look
in
at Limerick.
January.
No media ban. Players look like they enjoy talking to the media at the time. GAA managers grew up and trusted their players. Ironically, Sheedy basks in the media limelight. Lads, these players were told are amateurs. That said, where is their right to free speech? If it was me, I would tell them to stick it up their ass.
Unfortunately, you cannot do that. He wants to hurl for Tipperary this year and potentially win All-Ireland. And are Tipperary's prospects of winning the All-Ireland seriously compromised by some bland interview that nobody cares about in January?
No, but maybe if they've all bought in these early January training sessions to certain rules and regulations about what they're going to do.
That's grand if it's like your if that. It's your diet and it's your training regimen, but actually giving like a couple of sentences to somebody who's asking you a question shouldn't be a crime.
Luckily, it's you here, Johnny, and not Dan McDonald. But nobody pays €2 to read the Irish Independent. They read it for free, courtesy of copies of McDonald's and Insomnia. Typical journalist, not in command of the facts.
Well, people still do. My father would buy the Irish Independent every day. Unfortunately, people who buy papers, I guess like people who go to mass, the age profile is getting older. Younger people maybe don't anymore, which is sad, but people still do actually buy the paper, and obviously a lot more read it online. But
only took 3 minutes
point.
For Bowes to get a mention. Is that a record? Not quite.
Fairly sure I've gotten in quicker.
What's this? Ballyhaunis is a bit of a kip. Twinned with Tuam, right? Sticky from Drimna.
Is that the nickname for JP now, is it?
It's a bit bloody harsh.
I don't think either town is particularly attractive. I used to work in Tuam. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Ballyhaunis. It's a fabulous place.
Why'd you leave it?
Listen, I was going to say there's no radio station in Ballyhaunis, but there is. But look at that. Listen, I wanted to...
Why'd you leave it?
Because I wanted to...
It's so great.
Because it's a town, small town, Richie, you know?
Surely if you're proud
of
you
come into the city centre and not stay out in the north, why are you working on the south side and not stay in the north side for all your
Phoenix
life?
Phoenix FM, don't pay
does
me, Nathan.
Does it have a big... immigrant community, Ballyhaunis?
That was massive. One of the biggest in the country.
It must be, for such a pretty boring, sort of typical west of Ireland to Midland sound, it must have given it a fair bit of life. You know, the fact that, like, you've an influx of these totally different people to add a bit of crack to the whole thing. You know?
Exactly.
You know, and I think it's great.
You're dead right, Johnny.
Yeah.
But Nathan wanted to get out.
But no, Nathan.
No, I just had to leave for work purposes. It's fine. What about Declan Rice?
It's never far away.
Well, you may ask. Declan Rice is promising a decision on his international future soon. The West Ham teenager has three Republic of Ireland caps to his name, but as they were all in friendlies, he can still play for the country of his birth, England. In an interview with the Evening Standard, Rice confirmed talks with Ireland boss Mick McCarthy that also included his father Sean and his brother Connor. Rice has also spoken with the England boss Gareth Southgate, and the 19-year-old says that both managers have given him time to make up his mind.
So we've no sense of when soon is. Just by March, I guess, is the final decision.
Probably, yeah.
The process to play for England, though, has to... Does that not have to start?
Well, if he wants to play...
In the early games?
If he wants to play in these qualifiers, it does. But if he's just going to wait until later in the year...
The quotes surrounding his dad in the Standard interview are probably a little bit more telling in that, you know, he says he's now won... He's now played 50 games for West Ham, and so has his dad, because his dad has been there every step of the way. He really bigs up his dad and the influence his parents have had on his career.
And his dad is the main driving force for him to play for Ireland.
Exactly.
It is strange to think why it has taken this long, though. He signed his contract. I would have thought it would have been done by now. And we just want it over, don't we?
We do. Linked with Manchester City in this morning's papers as well. £50 million. So, yeah, we want him.
Wow.
So, Johnny Sexton, bad news.
Well, at least it's been reported that Jonathan Sexton will miss Leinster's crucial Heineken Champions Cup Pool 1 clash with Toulouse on Saturday, a game you can hear live on Off the Ball. The Irish Independent claimed that a calf problem will see the World Player of the Year miss the game at the RDS. Sexton's involvement or lack thereof will be known tomorrow lunchtime when Leo Cullen reveals his side. Stuart Lancaster has already talked up Ross Byrne's abilities at number 10 earlier in the week, and Jordan Larmour has backed that confidence.
The depth we have in our squad, you know, and the way we train, you know, everyone's integrating in. So, you know, if a player's out, someone fills that role, you know, there's no real big shock to the system because everyone knows the system. So we don't have too much doubt about it. So, you know, we're all happy. Even when it's John Sex, you know, he's a massive player and a massive leader. But, you know, there's other leaders in the squad. You know, there's other lads that can come in and fill the role.
So that would obviously be a huge blow for Leinster if Johnny Sexton was ruled out, but some surprisingly good news for Munster.
Yeah, Chris Farrell will start in tomorrow night's Heineken Champions Cup Pool 2 meeting with Gloucester. The centre had been a major doubt for the game, and indeed probably for the Six Nations, but scan on his knee have brought positive news this week. Johan van Graan still made six changes from last week's win over Connacht at the Sports Ground. Conor Murray, Rory Scanlon and Mike Haley return to the backs, while into the pack come CJ Stander, Stephen Archer and Dave Kilcoyne. Former Munster locker Brant Grubbler and England head half Danny Cipriani are both in Gloucester starting 15 for that game at Kingsholm, and Van Graan has been outlining the dangers he sees in the Gloucester side.
Yeah, their kicking game from 9 and 10 are pretty good, and they've got a very good chase, and Billy 12 Trees is one player that I've enjoyed following my whole life. He's such a hard worker and seems to be the heart and soul of their team, and he ignites them. And even, you know, in our win year at Thurmond Park, he kept fighting for 80 minutes. And like I said, their line-out and their tempo plays from the line-out when they speed it up. And then their broken field attack. Some of the games that we've watched over the past few weeks, even from their own goal line, they're not scared to have a go, especially when they're behind. So, you know, whether you're in front or behind against them, this game will go literally right down to the last minute.
So a big weekend of rugby coming up and Off the Ball. Leinster, Toulouse, live commentary of that from 1 o'clock on Saturday. And once that's finished, we're heading to Kingspan Stadium in Belfast for Ulster against Racing 92. Now, in our competition this week, we're giving away entries to Quest Adventure Races around Ireland with a grand prize tomorrow of a weekend in Kenmare for two people. Quest Adventure Races involve running, cycling and kayaking across various distances in stunning locations. And the good news is there's routes to suit all levels of abilities. You can choose from a Quest race in Kenmare, Glendalough, Killarney, Arlach Derg, all of which are great days out. To be given a chance of winning, just identify our mystery voice, who wasn't too pleased when he found out that by not subscribing to Off the Ball's YouTube channel, he was missing lots of great content. Understandable. Text your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We'll announce the winner later in the show. It's all with thanks to Quest Adventure Races. Find out more at questadventureseries.com. And on a totally unrelated note, the latest Golf Weekly is up online now.
Jesus Christ.
Some really good stuff in there.
Yeah, good one. As we mentioned, Dundalk captain and former Bozeman fielder Stephen O'Donnell has confirmed his
retirement
from playing.
We're not plugging the Tom Dunn show anymore.
Former Bohemians midfielder Stephen O'Donnell.
The 32-year-old.
Who played for Bohemians earlier in
the
year.
Did I mention that? Yeah.
Did he win anything with Bohemians?
Did you? The 32-year-old midfielder has seen the past couple of seasons at Oriel Park ravaged by injury, unfortunately. He is to remain with Dundalk and will take up the role of senior opposition analyst and scout. He joined Dundalk in 2012 from Shamrock Rovers and in all won six league titles during his career, three FAI Cups, an EA Sports Cup and a Satanta Cup. Remember that?
agree that GAA managers are over the top with media bans for their players. However, what's missing from this conversation is why managers don't trust the media. You journos can't help yourselves. You jump over any innocuous comment and blow it out of proportion, usually on the night before a big match, says John from Leitrim in Galway.
Don't listen to him.
John from Leitrim in Galway, yeah. I kind of get what he's saying there, and I understand that journalists do sensationalise things a bit, and there is a bit of validity to what he's saying, but unfortunately now you've so little to work with that you're just making a story out of nothing.
You can count on one hand the times interviews have been sensationalised.
In soccer it would have been fairly regular. Certainly
in the GAA?
I can't remember much. No. But I'm not sure they're necessarily paranoid about that. I think they're just paranoid about the player saying anything.
Mm.
Literally anything.
We're almost done for time. Anything else, Richie?
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal is seemingly reporting that Las Vegas authorities have issued a warrant to obtain Cristiano Ronaldo's DNA. They want to see if it matches that found on a dress of a woman who has accused him of rape. The authorities have sent the warrant to the Italian court system, with Ronaldo, of course, currently residing there. Las Vegas police reopened the case after Catherine Mayorga filed a lawsuit alleging Ronaldo raped her at a hotel in 2009 and then paid her $375,000 to keep it quiet. West Ham are adamant that Marko Arnautovic is not for sale. An unnamed Chinese club, believed to be Shanghai SIPG, is said to have made a bid of £35 million for the Austrian forward. But a brief statement from West Ham this evening says they fully expect Arnautovic to honour his contract, which it appears to run until 2022. His brother and representative, Daniel, though, has told TalkSport that he wants to go to a new market and challenge for titles.
We shall see.
Not the racecourse.
I played against Anthony Stokes at under 16 level. The guy was out of this world. I was a keeper and he put five past me, including a one-on-one where he did so many step-overs and drag-backs that he literally made me fall backwards on my ass. Even my defence stood still in admiration, says Dave.
I think he joined Arsenal shortly after Stephen O'Donnell. Stokes, you were talking earlier on about O'Donnell, how he was the big thing in the West. I think Stokes in Dublin at that time when he was
everyone
under 15.
Knew.
But he was a very feisty player. I remember my mate was a referee and he always says, I sent off Anthony Stokes.
What happened next?
He walked off the pitch, I suppose.
Amazingly, he ended up not being alone in that issue.
Yeah, my mate shortly ended his career as a referee, but he was an amazing talent as a kid.
All right, lots more to come from Johnny and Richie throughout the course of the evening. Stephen O'Donnell in studio from 8 o'clock. But up next, it's John Giles.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.